you are listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray gives a teaching about how we can fully worship God with everything we are. Here's Pastor Ray.
So thank you for loving our missionaries. And thank you for loving our church. Thank you for being a kingdom builder. And by the way, thank you for joining me in this Portland Christian Center online worship experience. You know, we're now in week two of a series called Practice Hope. And this sermon series is going to match the weeks that we're in our community's devotional book that we've produced for you. If you haven't downloaded that yet, there's a link that will appear, and I would encourage you to download that for yourself and then begin to go through these daily devotionals. It will keep you strong and, I think, spiritually thriving during this pandemic season. Even better yet would be to go through this devotional with your online group. It's better together, and we would encourage you to really be in the Word of God and encouraging yourself and encouraging one another through these devotionals. Well, today, let's talk about practice praise. Practice praise, to sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, as Ephesians 5, chapter 5 says. Now, before I launch into this, I'm curious, and I would like to hear from you as we're going to talk about praise today. What is your favorite worship song or your favorite hymn? I want you to write that down in the comment section. I would love to know, what is your favorite worship song or hymn? So whatever platform you're viewing from, if you can, write it down in the comment section. You know, I love old hymns. I mean the really old ones from the 15th and 16th and 17th century. I just love those songs. I also love the modern worship songs. Oh, those are just amazing. What is being produced these days just caused my heart to soar in praise to the Lord. So I would love to hear from you. So if you would, just write it down and let me know what you love, which songs, hymns that you love. Well, speaking of loving worship songs, our grandkids, I don't think I've ever told you about them, but our grandkids who live up in Seattle have a bedtime routine that consists of a story time, nightly prayers, and then a worship song that they get to choose, but a worship song that their parents sing. Now, six-year-old Noah loves Waymaker. He heard it in our online Easter service from his home in Seattle, and his mom says he hasn't stopped singing it since then. It's his new favorite. It replaced Cornerstone. You know, Cornerstone, we sing it here, weak, made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. We sang Cornerstone recently in an online service, and Noah, listening in, informed his mom that we didn't get it right. We didn't sing it the right way. But not to worry, he's now on to Waymaker. But four-year-old Nathan, on the other hand, has fiercely clung to Cornerstone as his go-to song. You know, a while back, before the pandemic hit and we have to now shelter in place, Lynn and I were in Seattle, and we got the privilege one night of doing the bedtime routine with the boys. Their parents were out on a date, and so we led the nightly routine of story time and prayers, and then a worship song. And we asked them what they wanted to sing, and they chose Cornerstone, and we obliged. But apparently, we didn't sing it right, which led to an outburst, an explosion from Nate. He said, "That's not Cornerstone. That's not Cornerstone." Well, under pressure now from this four-year-old, we couldn't fish the right one out of our mental worship index. I mean, you try it when a four-year-old is in full-on meltdown. And that led to an outburst of tears, a flood of tears from both Nathan and Noah as well. Well, needless to say, prayer and praise didn't go too well that night. However, we love the fact that they're learning to sing and make music from their heart to the Lord, as the Apostle Paul taught in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. These little guys are becoming worshipers. And I fully believe and expect that that will serve them well in life. It will serve them well. And it will serve you well as well. It will serve you well. Learn to practice praise at all times, but especially in these times. It's going to lighten your load when the journey seems too great. You know what praise does for us? When we sing and make music in our heart, lift our praise to the Lord, worship Him, it reminds us that we're not in charge. It reminds us that our government is not in control. It reminds us that the court system is not in charge. It reminds us that our company isn't in control. God is in control. And our praise reminds us of that. You know, praise ought to be our first response, not only to the delightful, but to the devastating things in life as well. Corbin Addison said, "Life is a broken thing, but it's what we do with the pieces that defines us." What we do with the broken pieces of life is what defines us. Today, whether you are in a delightful place, or perhaps you're wrestling with a difficulty, or maybe you're even in a place of devastation, I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you, offer your praise to God. Offer your heart in worship to God. Practice praise. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. And let that define your life. Let praise be what defines your life. You know, both the Old and the New Testament saints would tell you that that's the very best therapy when your life is in pieces. It's hard it is to praise God in those times when things aren't going your way. Listen, it is the best and it's the only thing really that will set your heart right in His presence. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, "We delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses, but it completes the enjoyment." Praise completes the enjoyment. If it were possible to give our delight for God perfect expression, our soul would be in supreme blessedness. Supreme blessedness. Well, that is possible because God created us for that. He gave us the capacity for that. We were created to worship God with our lives and with our lips and to fully enjoy Him now and forever. That's according to the Westminster Catechism that asks the question, what is the chief end of mankind? And then it gives this answer. Mankind's chief end is to glorify God, to worship and glorify God, and then to fully enjoy Him forever. And when we passionately lose ourselves and passionately express ourselves in praise, God is fully glorified in us, and we are fully satisfied in Him. We experience what Lewis said was supreme blessedness in life. Now, no one understood that better than King David. Not anyone in the past, not anyone today. No one got this like King David. You know, among David's many accomplishments, I mean, he was an amazing king, the greatest king in Israel's history. He was a fierce warrior. He was a master strategist. But none of those many achievements is greater than the contribution that he made to the songbook for the human race, what we know as the Book of Psalms. You know, not only was David a songwriter, but he was immensely creative as a choreographer and a producer. He directed intricate and moving temple worship services that we still marvel at to this day. He was even a skilled craftsman. He forged musical instruments that hadn't existed before. David had it all. He was quite the Renaissance man. I want you to listen how 1 Chronicles chapter 23, verses 1 through 4 describes it. Would you turn there in your Bible, if you would, or your Bible app? 1 Chronicles chapter 23, verses 1 through 4. And it says, when David was old, he made his son Solomon king over Israel. He gathered all of the leaders, the priests, and the Levites of Israel. The Levites, 30 years old and older, were counted, and the total number was 38,000. David said, "Of these, 24,000 are to be in charge of the work of the temple of the Lord." That's quite a large church staff. And then he said that 6,000 are to be officials and judges. 4,000 are to be gatekeepers, ushers, and greeters, if you will. And 4,000 are to praise the Lord with the musical instruments that I have provided for that purpose. They were the orchestra. I mean, David's artistic accomplishments are still unmatched, even to this day. And that's because David had learned to make music in his heart to the Lord. See, David had a song in his soul that was not manufactured. It wasn't dependent upon his feelings. It wasn't dependent upon his circumstances. He had a song in his soul that was just organic to him. You see, when David was just a boy, he learned to be a worshiper. He learned to play the harp, and then he began to compose songs and sing those songs to the flock of sheep that he was put in charge of out by himself in the Judean boondocks. Praise flowed from his core. And over time, in times of solitude, which is often where praise is inspired. I mean, we're in a time, many of us are in a time of solitude right now. We don't have a lot of human interaction. I want to challenge you to open your heart, because this is often where praise is inspired, in times of solitude and in times of difficulty, where also praise is often inspired. David honed his craft. He grew prolific as a songwriter, as a singer, as a composer, as a musician. He even became known as the sweet singer of Israel. You know, we'll never know the full extent of David's artistry, but we do have the Psalms, and the Psalms reveal his brilliance as a worshiper. So I think maybe the question for us today is, other than appreciation for his talents, what should this mean to you and me in any practical way? I mean, what are we to do with this in our lives today? You know, what do we do with this? Well, I want to suggest to you, and I believe this in my heart, that you too have a song inside of you. So why not make music in your heart? At least for God. Why not make music in your heart for God? You know, the Apostle Paul, back to Ephesians chapter 5, we'll expand it to now verses 18 through 20. The Apostle Paul says that is actually a function of the Spirit-filled life. He writes, be filled with the Spirit, the Spirit-filled life. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, or songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, with the Spirit's help, at the very least, start with writing down your song. Yeah, your song. You say, well, what is that? What is the song in my heart? It's simply this. It is the love and the gratitude that you have for God that's in your heart. You see, that is a song in unrecorded form. That's your song. It just hasn't been recorded yet. So record it. Write it down every day or once a week or at some regular interval. Commit to writing down your thoughts about God in journal form. It's what I do. It's what the devotional book is all about. Those are simply my thoughts about God and His Word that are written down and recorded. Often I bring to you a simple prayer. I'll produce it for you. We'll show it on the screen, or I'll have a card made up for you when we're in person worship, and I ask you to pray it that week. That is simply my thoughts about God in prayer form. And many of the Psalms were prayers that David sang to the Lord. He recorded his thoughts. He wrote them down. I want to encourage you to do that as well. Now, no one other than you and God may actually read it. But the God part of that combination, I think, is reason enough to do it. The fact that God is going to see it is reason enough to do it. But who knows, maybe at some point in your life, or maybe after your life is over, others might pick up what you have written down and be inspired to write their own song, to record their own song to the Lord that God has put there in their heart. You know what? What might seem like a silly activity could be what inspires even more worship from other people to the God who truly deserves more praise than what we give Him. And at the very least, when you record your song and offer it to the Lord, He will be inspired. You will make God smile, because He wants your devotion from your heart more than anything else. Let me say that again. God wants your devotion from your heart more than anything else. So the next time you have opportunity to worship, like we're going to do in a moment, just close your eyes and forget about everything but the song in your heart. Again, what is that song? It's the love and the gratitude that you have in there for God. Forget about the style of music. Forget that you're watching on a screen. Forget about everybody else, and forget about yourself. Just forget about everything else and lift your praise. Sing a love song to the audience of one. That's what praise is. The best praise is simply a love song from your heart to the audience of one. Lamar Boschman said that when I worship, I would rather my heart be without words than my words be without heart. God, too, would rather have worship from your heart. You know, I've been thinking about what worship for you might be like during this pandemic season. I know what it's like for me. It's probably challenging in these times. It's awkward to sing in front of your family when we praise and worship the Lord. There aren't gobs of worshipers to drown out your being off key like we have when we're all here together and hundreds of worshipers are lifting their voices at the same time to praise the Lord. You know, maybe as you watch the TV screen or the computer screen, maybe you don't really know the songs that we're singing. Maybe you don't even really like the songs that we're singing. But listen to this. If you don't engage in praise and you're just watching others worship on the screen, you're spectating. And worship, true worship, is not a spectator sport. So whatever the case, you know, whatever your reluctance is, whatever is holding you back, fight the tendency not to praise from the heart. Go out of your way to sing and make music to God in these moments. He will appreciate it. You know, years ago, I was out of town. It was on a Sunday, and I went to church. By all standards, this church that I went to was amazing, absolutely amazing. But I didn't enjoy the worship. I didn't like worship, so I didn't. People on the stage just seemed to be performing, and people in the seats just seemed to be watching. Every once in a while, they would kind of clap at the end of the song. And as I looked around, watching all the other worshipers, judging their authenticity, the authenticity of their praise, it suddenly hit me that anybody watching me would have made the same assessment, that I was just spectating. I wasn't truly worshiping. I wasn't praising. I wasn't offering the Lord what was in my heart. And suddenly in that moment, as I was thinking about that, the Holy Spirit just overwhelmed me and he dislocated my heart. And so I decided in that moment, I decided to worship. I decided to worship. And so I offered a quick and a simple prayer to the Lord that went something like this: God, you deserve praise. And if I'm the only one that will, I will praise you with all of my heart. You are going to get worship today in this place, even if it's just by me. And so I closed my eyes and I began to lift my voice in praise. And I got to tell you, it became a stellar worship service. And guess what? When I opened my eyes, it was a different church. It was amazing. There were lots of worshipers, in fact. Well, what had changed? Had the church changed? No. I had changed. My perspective was different. Praise had softened my heart. And my experience of worship that day came close to what I think God wants it to be for me and from me whenever and however I gather with you to praise him. Worship from the heart of the worshiper.
Thanks again for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you would like to hear more teachings or find out more information about our church, please visit pcctoday.com.